إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على نهجه وما استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فاتقوا الله أيها الأحباب فقد أمرنا سبحانه وتعالى في تنزيله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون ثم أما بعد. My brothers and sisters, once there was a time when Aisha رضي الله عنها, she made a statement about her husband, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said, "I never saw him fast in any other time of the year aside from Ramadan more than in the month of Sha'ban." And that literally means that in another statement she says that sometimes when I look at him fasting, I would think that he's not going to have iftar. He would just continue fasting every day. But then there were other times I would look at him and he would have his iftar, meaning he would be eating every day and not fasting, and I would think, well, maybe he's not going to fast anymore. This is her way of explaining that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have this pattern when it came to fasting throughout the year. Until something interesting happened. Another companion by the name of Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhuma, he noticed something about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he went up and he asked him about it. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, I see you in the month of Sha'ban, I see you fasting more in this month than any other time of the year." You see what Usama radiallahu anhu picked up. He looked at his pattern, but he noticed that in that particular month, something was very different. So he asked him, "Why? Why do you fast so much in that particular month, Sha'ban?" And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him an answer that is a response for all of us as believers to really internalize, think about, reflect on it as much as you can. And he said to him, "The month of Sha'ban," meaning the month between Rajab and Ramadan, referring to Sha'ban, "is a month that most of mankind is heedless of. They haven't forgotten it, heedless, ghafla. Ghafla is when you know something, but for whatever reason, you're not giving that thing the attention that it deserves. To forget, you just didn't know." So he says that most of the followers of this ummah will be heedless towards that month. And scholars explain, what did the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mean when he said this? If you look around the average Muslim, almost every one of us, we know about the month of Ramadan. Most Muslims even know about Dhul Hijjah. But if you really break it down and you really have this conversation about the different months of the year, which ones are special, which ones are sacred and so on, it's actually very true that many Muslims don't really know the significance of what Sha'ban is and what it represents. We are in that month right now. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam says to Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhuma, "As a result of this state of heedlessness, this is the month, Sha'ban, where our deeds are lifted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Think about that for a second. One of us, or some of us, or maybe all of us in this room today, This month, our deeds were lifted to Allah. Subhanallah. You know, on the one hand, you might think to yourself, okay, on the other hand, at least for me, it's quite frightening, just the thought of it. And the Messenger والسلام, doesn't stop there. He continues telling Usama ibn Zayd more. And he says to him, because that happens in this month, I wish to be in the state of fasting when my deeds are being carried to Allah. This hadith is narrated in the Sunan of An-Nasa'i. And it is an authentic narration. The month of Sha'ban is a very beautiful and blessed month in our deen. It was said that this month of Sha'ban is actually when the legislation of Ramadan happened in this month. The Muslims were told you are going to fast in the month of Ramadan. It was said that in Sha'ban, we were given our own Qibla in this month. The Ummah was told, turn away from Masjid al-Aqsa and now face to Masjid al-Haram. It's a beautiful and significant month in our lives. But according to the Messenger والسلام, most people won't recognize that. And even if they hear about it, it'll just be restricted to more knowledge and information and doesn't actually go beyond that. So the real question, and this is the question that I want to share with you and also a response to it, what exactly should be our focus or attitude now that we are only weeks away from welcoming bi-idhnillahi ta'ala the blessed month of Ramadan? Allahumma ballighna Ramadan, Allahumma ameen. Ayyuhal ahbab, the great pious predecessors, they used to make this dua. Listen to the dua. They used to ask Allah, oh Allah, keep us alive so we can welcome Ramadan. بَلِّغْنَا رَمَضَان. Keep us alive. Extend our time on this earth, especially that we can welcome the month of Ramadan. And I started to think to myself, years ago when I first heard this hadith, Why is this dua so specific and focused on this one month? Now we don't need to talk about the virtues of Ramadan. That's pretty obvious. But weeks and maybe even months in advance, these pious men and women of the past and many of the Muslim world today, we are praying to Allah, just extend our time so we welcome that month. We're not even asking Allah, oh Allah, let me fast the month. Let me pray all the tarawih in the month. We're simply asking Allah, just keep me alive so I'm here when that month begins. Then I noticed something really frightening, but very interesting at the same time. I noticed, at least for maybe the last 4 or 5 years, that a lot of people pass away very close before Ramadan. As a matter of fact, and I've even spoken to some of the students who are studying in Mecca, and I would ask them, when the janazas are happening for every salah in Mecca, do you know how many bodies are there? They said, yeah, we sometimes know. But as they get, and I asked them specifically, especially before Ramadan, and one student told me, Brother Musleh, before Ramadan, sometimes there are over a dozen bodies in each salah that janazah is being prayed for. And I thought to myself, wow, subhanallah, that is so interesting. Even some of you who are sitting here probably know of loved ones and friends and families who out of nowhere, they probably would be sitting or eating or just, you know, being with their families or gone to work or what have you, and out of nowhere, for whatever reason, they passed away. And when you look at the period of when this happens, and you notice that subhanAllah, just weeks before Ramadan, the point is to be able to just breathe and be conscious of that month and to be able to welcome it and experience whatever amount of that month Allah blesses us with seems to be one of the greatest blessings a Muslim and a believer can ever experience in this lifetime. So with that being said, once again, Allahumma balighna Ramadan. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal, O Allah, allow us to welcome the blessed month of Shahru Ramadan. Allahumma ameen. Ayyuhal ahbab, coming now to today's topic, I only want to share with you perhaps maybe one or two verses from a very beautiful surah of the Quran, Surah Ali Imran. Surah Ali Imran is a very interesting surah in the sense that it is a complementary chapter of the Quran to its previous surah, Surah Al-Baqarah. These two surahs are linked together. They are complementary surahs to one another. Surah Ali Imran has a massive discussion that is devoted to Bani Israel. A lot of it, over 20 or maybe even 30 verses alone, are talking about the things and the blessings that Allah gave Bani Israel. He gave them permissible foods, more so than what you and I are allowed to eat. كُلُّ الطَّعَامِ كَانَ حِلًّا لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ Allah said, all the foods I made it permissible for them. In addition to that, in the same surah, it starts talking about covenants and promises that Allah gave them. And Allah told them that if you do this, you follow Isa alayhi salam, or you follow Musa alayhi salam, you follow the authentic message, here's what you get in return. You will get sustenance, you will get rizq, you will get stability, you will get security. All of these wonderful things mentioned in Surah Ali Imran. When that conversation continues in that particular manner, Allah pauses from that conversation and shifts the attention to you and I and says something very beautiful. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O people of Iman, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ You hear this verse almost every Jum'ah. I even started off with this verse. In where Allah Azza wa Jal pauses from that conversation or that focus to Bani Israel and says to you and I, people of Iman, have taqwa of Allah. Not just any form of taqwa. Make sure that you have true taqwa to Allah. A sahaba asked the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, how is it possible for somebody to have true taqwa of Allah? How is that even possible? That somebody could actually meet the criteria of taqwa with Allah azza wa jal. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam explained, not just in that hadith, but many others, that your commitment, your sincerity, the genuineness that you have to be a better human being by doing the things that Allah commanded us to do, staying away from the things that He prohibited, these are all a starting point for you to achieve real, authentic, genuine taqwa. Then Allah Azza wa Jal tells all of us, especially people of Iman, لَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ Don't you dare leave this earth unless you are in the form of some kind of submission. With that being said, here's what I want to bring to your attention. That verse, I believe it is verse 102. This verse about taqwa is actually the first of three ingredients in the Quran that teaches you and I how to reform ourselves. How to better ourselves as people. The Quran gives us a three-step guide on how to achieve that. The first ingredient, Allah talks to each and every one of us as individuals. There is an individual transformation that has to happen to all of you. This is the attitude, if you're not already in it, this is the attitude all of us have to be in as we inch closer and closer to the month of Ramadan. That the first step is, you start looking at yourself. You see, Ramadan is a time for reflection. It's a time for you and I to strengthen our commitment with Allah. It's a time for us to sit back and think about all the things that have happened this last year. It's an opportunity for you and I to reflect on all the deeds that we have performed, good and bad. You look back at that scale. This is what Ramadan is all about. It's to kickstart once again the love and the desire, the genuineness, the sincerity to please Allah Azza wa Jalla. May Allah bless us with that. Allahumma ameen. The starting point, the formula that you and I are given, step one, Allah says have taqwa. Taqwa literally means to be conscious of Allah. When we say to be conscious of Allah, it means that you never ever forget Him regardless of your circumstance or your state. The least that you are doing is you are remembering that Allah is watching and Allah is listening. You're always aware of that. And the reason why that is so important is part of taqwa is you fear Allah's punishment. So you're thinking about Allah and you're remembering Allah. And the reason why you're doing that is you don't want to be a candidate of punishment from Allah. May Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us. Allahumma ameen. That's the first ingredient. So now that you've taken care of yourself as an individual, and you know what's interesting about this concept of taqwa mentioned in this ayah? In Surah Al-Baqarah, how Allah starts off the conversation about Ramadan, what does He tell us? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. How does it end? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The same verse that talks about why Allah gave us Ramadan actually ends up that perhaps inshallah you will attain some form of taqwa. That's what Ramadan is all about. Now things will get interesting. That's step one. Here is step two. This transformation process, or to strengthen what we already have that is good and positive in us, to make it stronger and consistent, here's step two. The next verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla, verse 103, He tells us, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Here's step two. All of you, hold on to the rope of Allah, جَمِيعًا, every single one of you. So the first step was what? Look out for yourself. Make sure you have some form of consciousness and taqwa in you. You know why this is so important, by the way? Aside from Ramadan, just generally speaking, why it is so important? Where do we get our taqwa from? We get it from the Quran. Those of us who have a steady relationship with Allah's book, you will notice something very unique about your attitude and your behavior. Quran causes the student of it to think very differently than anyone else. Your attitude starts changing about life. Your perception on things starts to change. Allah blesses you with a sense of self-control that no professional can ever teach you. You will never learn it in a classroom. That's what the Quran gives you. You're able to look at the entire world and all the chaos that's happening around you because you love this book and you're connected to it. For some reason, you're able to put things into perspective. This is especially crucial when the angel of death, Allah gives him the command, go take his soul. And when that angel comes and takes the soul of that individual, they're not worried about, my goodness, I feel like I'm going to leave this earth. I feel like I'm going to die right now. They're not thinking like that. Instead, Allah blesses them because of their long-term commitment of being close to Allah's book. That is the moment Allah blesses them. Instead of being worried to go and meet Allah, they are just uttering, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Allah gives them the barakah and the blessing of a righteous ending. May Allah Azza wa Jalla bless all of us with a husnul khawatim. Allahumma ameen. Ayyuhal ahbab. So once you took care of yourself, now all of us have a collective responsibility to hold on to the rope of Allah. What exactly is that? Scholars differ. Some said the Quran is the rope of Allah. Others said it was the sunnah. That's the rope of Allah. Others, Ibn Abbas and others, they said, no, it's everything. It's Islam altogether. I think all of these have truth to them. They all complement each other. They give you a complete picture. So let's just say for the sake of argument that the rope of Allah is Islam in its entirety. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, now that all of you have taqwa, now all of you collectively together, hold on to the teachings of this deen. Do you see how Allah keeps us together? It's not about what your professional background is. The maturity and responsibility Allah cares about so that we stick together as an ummah is that every single one of us has the basic morals and ethics and teachings of our deen. That's what you need. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And don't split up and separate into factions. You know, the word tafarraqu also comes from the term firqa. And firqa is when a group separates and starts their own movement. It's not that this group just decides to separate from others and just continue with life. This group started their own movement or their own voice. That's called a firqa. That's why that is also the Arabic term of a sect in Islam. So the point is Allah is saying to you that if you guys don't have the same common foundation, which is your deen, if that's not the thing that's encouraging and teaching you and helping you, and that's not the arena that you use to make all of your decisions, what is going to be the consequence? You're going to split apart into factions. Allah says, don't let this happen. وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. Listen to the next and the third and final step towards building transformation or reformation within a community. Start off by yourself, that's step one. Step two, all of you collectively, meaning the entire ummah now, get together, get on the same page. Our decisions are always going to be based on what the deen has taught us. And number three, Allah tells us, think back for a moment. وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Think back and remember this ultimate and incredible blessing Allah gave you. إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Once upon a time you were enemies to each other and Allah brought your hearts together. There is a context to this. Back in the days during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, even before Islam, there were tribes that were fighting over each other. There are dozens of stories like this, of tribes fighting over each other for trivial things. I mean, believe it or not, there was even a war that happened pre-Islam, where one person's camel, his camel, walked over to someone else's land, and it turned out to be a war. Allah Azza wa Jal says, those are the things, you were enemies to one another, you disliked each other, you couldn't get along. But as a result, because of Allah Azza wa Jal blessing you with the Qur'an and this man, the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, he brought your hearts together. What I love about this statement is the word that Allah uses to describe how the hearts came together. Allah says, أَلَّفَ. أَلَّفَ comes from the word أَلْفٌ. That's the Arabic term for 1,000. 1,000, أَلْف. So in other words, Allah is saying, your hearts were split into thousands of pieces. And Allah brought all of that back together again. How did He do it? He gave you this book and told you, follow the man, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. And as a result, the outcome of that is you all became brothers in faith. You all supported and looked out for each other in faith. There are two words to describe brotherhood in the Quran. أَخٌ and إِخْوَةٌ. If you say أَخٌ, it's brothers in humanity. If you say إِخْوَةٌ, it's blood brothers. So Allah says that the least, the outcome that should happen is if you all share the exact same faith, you should at least come together as brothers and sisters in humanity. Allah calls that a ni'mah. You know, the word ni'mah is also another word to describe a precious gift. So Allah's precious gift to this ummah is that we have each other. Think about it. And if somebody for whatever reason refuses to put aside their misunderstandings or confusions or pride or ego or whatever you want to call it. If they refuse to do that for the sake of keeping a bond, it's as if they are indirectly saying to Allah, your precious gift, no thank you. I don't want it. May Allah protect us from that. You know, this is what the Quran does. It really gets you into the state where you deeply reflect on yourself. You start thinking and you become more critical on yourself than anyone else. May Allah Azza wa Jal continue to bless us with the knowledge of the Quran. And may Allah Azza wa Jal bless in our hearts and in our lives that we constantly, always and forever follow the teachings of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We conclude this verse in the second part of the khutbah. أَقُولُ مَا تَسْمَعُونَ وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ ذَمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه أما بعد وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون. Look at how beautiful this ayah ends. Allah says that as a result, when once upon a time you didn't get along as an ummah, and there was lots and lots of hatred and division amongst you, the consequence of that is that some were literally at shafa hufra. They were at the edge of a cliff about to fall into the fire. May Allah protect us. What does that tell you about brotherhood and unity? It's probably one of the top three greatest blessings on earth. And the Akhirah as well. One of the greatest blessings of Jannah is that no one in paradise will be alone. Allah will bless you with companionship. Brotherhood. Companionship. This here that we have in this room, and that we continue to experience in Taraweeh, in Iftar, on Eid, and throughout Ramadan, is an indication to you and I that the deeper lesson of all of this is that we need each other to complete our journey with Allah. We need one another. And we have to look out for each other. Because Allah said, وَاعْتَصِمُوا from اِعْتَصَمَ. Protect yourself and look out for those around you. That's the least bare minimum. And with that attitude, this is how Allah blesses this ummah with guidance and knowledge. It's because at the end of the day, you care for one another. When there is care and love for each other for the sake of Allah, Allah blesses you with the Quran. He blesses you that you love His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and you walk each and every day, and all you see and you think about is your Creator. You're conscious of Him. That's what we want now. That's what we want as we go into Ramadan. That's what we want when we graduate from the month. That is what we want to live our lives and leave this world. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless us and honor us that we love each other and keep our hearts mended and sewed between each other for love and for His sake and His pleasure. Allahumma ameen. Ayyuha al-ahbab, these are the words that I leave you with. And with that being said, we send peace and blessings to our Rasul salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi. Kama amarana subhanahu wa ta'ala fi tanzili. Inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidu majid. Allahumma aghfir al-muslimina wal-muslimat. Wal-mu'minina wal-mu'minat. Al-ahyai minhum wal-amwat. Innaka qarib سميع مجيب الدعوة. اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل، ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. وأقم الصلاة.